on the banks of the Grand River, high above the Alora Gorge. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insiders, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey, y'all. I am Shay. This is the On Air Indie Show. Welcome and enjoy. Episode 48. First, music history facts for May 25th. In 1965, blues harmonica player, singer, and songwriter Sonny Boy Williamson died in his sleep. The Led Zeppelin biography, Hammer of the Gods, said that during a 60s UK tour, Sonny Boy once set his hotel room on fire. He was trying to cook a rabbit in a coffee percolator. Darren McCarthy from alt-rock band Plastic Cowboys joins me today. We present three tracks from the release Splinter EP. The band hails from Westmeath, Ireland. The Splinter EP deals with issues such as mental health, escapism, and hangovers. Splinter is one of three EPs planned for release this year by the band. The band is one of the Buzzer's most need-to-watch bands for 2021. Enjoy! Hi, Darren. How are you today?
Hi, Shay. I'm good. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for representing the band. Plastic Cowboys.
Yeah.
And you're an alt-rock grunge band out of Ireland. Made a lot of noise on the scene since December when you released None Like You. It's an incredible track. I love the beat.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we were really proud of None Like You. When None Like You came together, it was one of those like, oh my God, we need to get to the studio moments, you know? It was very different to what we'd done before.
Yeah. And but it got you noticed. You were on Whalen's One to Watch in Dublin in January of 2020.
Yeah, we were doing quite well before the pandemic. We were on Whalen's One to Watch, and we had quite a good spot. And then we were doing Fibbers before that, which is a good rock bar in Dublin. And we started doing radio spots. So we'd done RT, which is a national broadcaster in Ireland.
Yeah, because your previous releases, I believe they were 99 on a Saturday and Not As Cool.
Yeah.
Were the reason you got on their watch list. So that's pretty cool. But you turned the you turned it around and you got busy writing songs, and we're going to be featuring them today. And the Splinter EP is released March of this year, March 12th.
Yeah.
And it's your first of three EPs releasing this year.
That's the plan. Like, we started the pandemic and we're just like, there's nothing we could do but record. And I'm a sound engineer. I've got a degree in, you know, music technology. Did it for 4 years over here, and same with the drummer. We were both sound engineers, so I just got Kieran, who does the majority of the songwriting, and brought him down to my house. We built a studio in my house, and we just spent one weekend recording. And the weekend we spent recording was actually What's on Splinter. We did the whole thing in 48 hours in my sitting room, apart from the drums and vocals.
No way.
Oh yeah, the whole thing was just we literally just blistered through it.
Wow, you guys are incredibly talented to put out that kind of music in 48 hours.
Thank you very much. It took longer than I did to record.
When did you write the songs? During that 48 hours?
No, the songs have been written for quite a while. Kieran does the majority of the writing with None Like You, which was the lead single. That had only been written about a month when it got recorded. That was written in the July. Kieran brought it to me, see what I thought. And I was just, it floored me when I first heard it, because it was so different to None Like You, not None Like You, 99 and Not As Cool. That was kind of it's a single.
Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah, so we just built the EP around it, really.
Yeah. And Ciaran, is that how you say his name?
Ciaran?
Yeah, Ciaran, sorry.
It's just, Irish. So.
I did the Shay thing. I always mispronounce. Okay, he's the lead vocal.
He is lead vocal and guitar, yeah.
Yeah, and he writes most of the lyrics?
Yeah, well, see, what happened was Ciaran was a solo singer-songwriter, and I was working in a studio, and we got in touch through a mutual friend, and he was going to release an EP about 2 years ago, and we'd literally just met. We were doing some recording through a mutual friend, Susan McKeown, with her non-profit, and he sent me on the EP for my opinion, and I said, the songs are great, but, you know, you record this at home. I started working in the studio. Let's work together. Mm-hmm. I was producing the tracks. And then we started working together really well. So he's like, let's make this into a band. So a lot of the stuff he had already written for a few years.
Okay, that's normal. That's normal. I wrote a song about 2 years ago. I still haven't put it to melody.
That happens a lot.
So I know, doesn't it? It's like, okay, you're there in my okay when I'm in that space mood.
Yeah, exactly. That happens with us a lot.
No, it's a really heavy track, and I have about a personal thing. And I can only take it so much. That's all I'll say.
That's it about music. You write a song when you're in a mindset one day, and then the next day you're not in that mindset. So you're just like, no one can hear this. This is gone.
I know. I run it by my daughter sometimes.
Yeah.
And she's a writer and a creative, and she's blunt. So after, as she goes, Mom, you know, I think you better, you know, do this and that. And so I put it away for a while. So you guys are a three-piece band.
Yep.
And how did you form? You formed in 2019?
Yeah, we formed in... When did we form? Sorry. We formed officially in... 2019, it would have been April 2019. And
okay.
In the summer of 2018, I was working with Kula, which is a nonprofit. So I spent summer of 2018 making documentaries with underprivileged youth and people who don't have access to recording equipment and helping them write songs and that kind of thing.
That's very cool of you.
Oh, it was a really cool project. Like Susan's still doing that project and she's working in New York now. Like we did a lot of stuff in Dublin and now all around Ireland, and she's moved on since to work in New York, but she wanted to do something with just singer-songwriters in Dublin, people who she knew that she thought were talented, and get them together, record some music, and eventually try to get a gig together in New York for them. And Ciaran was one of the people. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so our first time meeting, I think within an hour or two of knowing him, we were already recording because, you know, introduced, all that kind of stuff, went out for a cigarette, and he just had two tracks and asked me, you know, which do you prefer. He had one was called Tommy, one was called Hollywood's Dracula, and he just played them for me, and I was floored. I was like, my god. This is the other people taking part weren't good, but it's just something about him was very different, so it kind of like, I just thought it was great. So we recorded the tracks. I thought nothing of it until maybe a month or two later, he got in contact, asked me if I wanted to, hear his new EP. So he sent me the EP. I listened to it and the songs were great. And I was just like, this is fantastic, but you've recorded at home. And if you're going to release it, you know, I have just started working in the studio, which is Wave Farm in Dublin, who we still work with, Kevin Brennan. He actually produces all of our tracks.
Yeah, I saw that.
So we're still working with them, but he came to the studio anyway, and we started recording together, and it was good. But I think the more we started working together, there was a lot of chemistry there. And I think for Ciaran, it was very much a fact that it's like, if I want to do this, I want to do it as a band, not as a solo act. So that's just kind of how it grew out of that. And then he asked me if I knew a drummer, and I was in college with Joe, the drummer, from 2013. We did 2 years of a PLC, then we went on to do our bachelor's degree together. So I was like, I know a guy. Yeah. So and Joe was one of my best friends, so got in contact with Joey and just asked him if he'd be up for a jam session, and we jammed, and it worked.
Yeah, you guys definitely do work.
It just kind of
great energy.
Thank you.
Great energy.
It very much fell into place. It was all very much accidental.
So you and Joe both have been schooled. Do you want to talk about your personal background, like how you came into music, or talk about it as a band as a whole?
Yeah, I can do both. Yeah. So for myself personally, I started. I've always kind of been interested in music. I've got a very musical family, but I kind of, you know, I started with the roots of music, kind of not to sound too not deep or anything, but when I was 11 years old, I was obsessed with Elvis Presley. So
everybody is obsessed with Elvis Presley.
It happens to everyone at one stage of their life. They find like, mother and father's CD is like, okay, this guy's pretty cool.
You know, fun fact.
Yeah.
My high school sweetheart looked like Elvis Presley.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really cool. Fun fact. He even has a smile, man. Oh my God. So you were influenced by Elvis.
Yeah, trust me, there's no one in Ireland that looks like Elvis Presley.
Okay.
I was big influenced into Elvis and the Beatles. And then by the time I hit 15, I discovered the Ramones and the Sex Pistols. And then that's when I started really taking it seriously. And I just wanted to be Dee Dee Ramone. So that's kind of why I went towards the bass. I was just in love with that kind of scene.
What makes you attracted to that scene?
I think it was just because when, you know, for a lot of people, you look at music and it's just such a daunting industry, and it's just people are so immensely talented. Not that the Ramones weren't immensely talented, they were, and you know, they were pioneers, but I think it's just that what drew me to punk was that whole DIY attitude of anyone can do it. You know, it was very much a band I listened to and I was taught, okay, like I can do this.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with you that punk genre has attitude, I guess if you can put it up into one word. I like that a lot of the bands in that genre are political.
Yeah.
They make statements. I love that. I'm an Eric Clapton fan too, so which is a different type, different style of music with different same message, you know.
Yeah,
they want to get their message out there. Could you tell us a bit about the other band members' background?
I know with Kieron, you know, with him, he was always he started playing guitar. I think he was about maybe 13 or so. He used to skip class to go play guitar. So, you know, the real typical like rock story, you know, he would skip school to play guitar. And then he left school and he didn't bother with college because he knew this is what he wanted to do. So worked a few jobs, moved to Dublin, and then started the whole solo thing and fell into the band.
Well, that's incredible.
Mm. Me and him, like, we connected on a lot of music. You know, like me, he'd be, you know, a massive Beatles fan. And then we were both very into the Irish scene at the moment with, like, Murder Capital, Pillow Queens, Fontaines DC. So we were both really into the scene, which helped.
Oh, great. Now, what about Joseph? Or do you call him Joe?
We just call him Joe.
I'm calling him his Christian name. Joe, okay, Joe. Killer, isn't it? Yeah, can't see somebody in a punk band call himself Joseph very long.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, so what about Joe?
Joe is, how do I explain Joey? Joe, I call him Joey a lot of time. He's, you know, he started off playing guitar and his father was a drummer who would play a lot of gigs around Ireland. So he was very handy on the guitar and the drums, but we didn't need a second guitar player at the time. So we needed a drummer, and it was just lucky that he was just as good of a drummer as he was as a guitar player.
Okay.
So his primary focus, he's a great drummer and he loves drums, but his primary focus since leaving school was the guitar. And me and him, we both got involved in the production side of things. After school, we both kind of decided that was for us. And it was funny because me and Joe, we'd never, like, we met for the first time in 2013. We thought it was the first time. It turns out when we were kids, we played on the same hurling team, like sports teams. And like, we'd lived 10 minutes away from each other our entire lives. And we only became friends when we were like 19.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was weird. Music does that, huh? Brings people together.
Yeah, it definitely does. I agree with that 100%. Well, the Splinter EP deals with mental health, escapism, and hangovers.
Yeah.
That's the band's description. I found that pretty cool description. we're going to be listening to the first track, A Storehouse. Can you tell us a bit about the background of the album? Like, it's pretty wide open. Mental health, escapism, I can understand. Hangovers, I don't. what's the album about?
Well, that's it. Like, it's one of those things, you know what I mean? That, like, you could say hangovers and it's just, I suppose it's a bit of an easy answer, but like when we talk about hangovers and that kind of thing, like Those Damn Lights, a lot of people just think it's kind of a song about like it's just rambling and screaming. But Those Damn Lights, like the whole story behind Those Damn Lights is me and Kieran both work in offices because, you know, we need a day job. So we work in offices during the day. So Those Damn Lights is like, the lyrics are, "Those damn lights are haunting me." So it's basically about going to work the night after a party or you have a hangover and it's just the lights are haunting you. They're taunting you because, you know, you've gone out and done something you shouldn't have the night before, but then you've got to live with the consequences. And when you have a hangover, something as small as a light being too bright is a consequence. So
that's a pretty cool concept.
Yeah, so that's kind of the story behind that one.
You just described 90% of a population out there.
Oh yeah,
because a lot of people do that. What was one artist that was on the show called it a jobby job, like a job to get to a job you do to get to do what you want to do.
That's what we do.
Yeah, that's what a lot of us do.
I know, it's part of the struggle, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I did it for years. I'll be honest with you, I'm a full time writer now, so. And my love is podcasting and being on the air because I used to be a radio show host. But I had a jobby job for a long, long, long time. Long, long time. So I get that. Yeah. I get that. I get that.
I think it's good stuff. Jobby jobs, as you say.
I thought it was cool. I kept saying on the podcast, "Oh, well, my jobby job." And I go, "Okay, wait a minute. What's a jobby job?" And you explained it, and it was such a cool way of saying it. Like, because it gives it puts it in a category that you just leave it there, right?
Exactly.
I thought it was cool.
I do too. I think it's great. But, well, I think jobby jobs are important because it shapes character. And I think it really makes you realize that, you know, your passion, like for us, the band and stuff, it's really what you want to be doing. And I think it helps you work harder to earn money because you're like, if I don't do this, I can't fund what I actually want to do.
Yeah, 100%. So, 100%.
It lights a bit of a fire.
We're going to be playing Storehouse right next. Can you tell us a bit about the song to introduce it?
Yeah, so Storehouse is actually a song written about the old storehouse in Dublin, which is actually a pub in Temple Bar.
Oh, really?
So it's one of those songs that's kind of about, you know, sitting there having a quiet drink and, you know, really just reflecting on yourself kind of thing. So if you, in the chorus, there's that line, "In the dark and see the eyes."
I'm quiet because I'm trying to picture a quiet pub in Ireland.
It's hard. It's hard, especially in Temple Bar.
That's cool.
So the line is, "In the dark and see the hands reach out in front of me, pull me down beneath the cracks and the light explode back." But "dark and see" is actually a pint of Guinness.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So
I love that.
Which, you know, I suppose that song deals with mental health and hangovers. So
yeah, and addiction.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it could be. Could be. Okay, so we're gonna listen to Storehouse.
I tried to, for something in my brain didn't work.
I watched a video. I love the colors. I love the colors that Michaela Monaghan did the lyric video for you.
Yeah. John, fun fact.
Yeah, she's incredibly talented. The typeface she used, yeah. It was like I was watching a Super Mario.
That's what I thought too. She's actually Joel's sister and my girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you got a good one there.
She's a fantastic animator.
It was very cool, very artistically done, and the references and even the fonts and the colors. I was very, very impressed with the video.
Thank you. Yeah, like that's what blew me away about like Michaela. She's like her own worst critic, which I suppose a lot of artists are. Like she sent it to me and she's like, do you like it? I was like, yeah. It's like, okay, I know you have to say that, but do you like it? I was like, yes, I do. I love it. But what blew me away about like the way she did the video was if you, there's the line when the eyes look back at me. The eyes she actually animated were taken from our cover of None Like You. She actually reanimated the eyes from the cover.
Oh, wow.
So she used the single cover, the eyes from that to... just, I suppose, as a little, you know, a little Easter egg.
No, it's incredible. I was captivated by it.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, she's working on more at the moment. She's working with a few other artists, and she's worked with some really cool artists before in the past. So we were quite lucky to get her to do it because I know she's been pretty busy.
Didn't know she was your girlfriend and Joe's sister, you say?
Yeah.
Well, you keep your circle small, don't you?
Yeah, with the pandemic, you have to. No, but no, yeah. I think I met him 8 years ago, and we've been together for 7 years. So he was cool.
That's amazing. That's amazing. The two creatives together is really cool.
Oh yeah.
I'm married to a creative too. He's a novelist, so.
It helps, doesn't it?
Totally.
Talk to someone who's not creative about the ideas you're having, they'll either look at you like, okay, like they're not listening, or they'll think you're insane.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have to explain what my moods. He gets it. Well, he gets it, which is important. I'm sure you have that too.
Yes.
So what's Molly about? We're going to hear that next.
Molly is probably the song that, you know, whereas None Like You, you know, you've got Mental Health, Storehouse, and Those Damn Lights were based around drinking. Molly is a pretty straightforward track. You know, it's more so the melody rather than the story that, you know, that song was built upon. So Molly was kind of just inspired by a night out in Dublin. You know what I mean? It was kind of just, that's why it's a bit of a whirlwind, but at the same time, it has like this real beautiful soft melody. So when Kieran showed it to me, it's like, I was quite like, it was very impressive to me. It's just because certain parts of the song are like, especially the end, it's very hard. It's very striking. But I think there's quite a beautiful melody underneath all of that. But the lyrics itself, it's not really inspired by anything in particular. It's more so just about a night out, you know what I mean? No particular night out, but it's just a night out.
That's incredible. And it was written by Kieran again?
Well, Kieran writes the lyrics.
Okay. And who wrote the music?
Kieran wrote the music for Molly.
Oh, okay.
So Kieran would record stuff. He would record a demo and then he'd bring it to me and Joe to talk about the bass parts and the drum parts. And then we would work on stuff ourselves, bring it back to him. We agree on stuff. We disagree on stuff. You know how it works. It's kind of just like,
yeah, cool.
You try and make it work with what's there. Because a lot of the stuff that we have recorded so far are songs that Kieran has written maybe 4 years ago. So it's more so getting a lot of the stuff that works is kind of like the stuff we were putting out first. Like 99, our first single, I think Kieran had in his pocket for 3 years. And
okay.
The next single that we haven't announced yet, I think he had it written maybe 4 years ago.
Okay, cool. You actually did point that out a bit back in the podcast, but my brain didn't absorb it. Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah, my brain does it sometimes. So we're going to hear Molly right now.
We'll be right back. your friends all pepsied out, and your head is driving south, but that music's roaring, and it drags you in. Do you believe in rock and roll? The devil's foot from the heel to the sole. Well, those feet are falling off a stolen gym.
I like the track. I thought it was incredible.
Incredible. Yeah, I quite like Molly. It's, you know, it's one of those things, especially when you're in the mixing stages, that you either violently love or violently hate a track by the end. So I quite like Molly, especially where it's placed, you know, in the center of the EP. I think it's just a nice breath of air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with you. So what was it like working with Kevin Brennan of Wavefarm Productions?
If he's listening to this, then it's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope to keep doing it. But it's always great working with Kevin. Kevin is the guy that kind of started me off working anything audio. I'd done work with the nonprofit, but it was no real recording at that stage. During my final year of college, we had to reach out to someone and get a mentor, basically, to send our mixes to and get advice on about the music industry. And mine was Kevin. So,
and how did you reach out to Kevin?
LinkedIn.
Oh, cool!
He was so professional for the music industry. Because see, I live out in the countryside of Ireland, so there's probably no recording studio for about an hour around me. You know what I mean? Like I live out with the cows, really. But
yeah, so do I.
It's I prefer it.
So do I. But it seems like whenever we talk about where we live, it's like apologetic. Oh, I live in the country. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, cool. No, LinkedIn's pretty good. A pretty good spot. Yeah, it's a pretty good spot.
I'm not used to the big city folk.
I agree. Yeah. So tell me a bit more about it. About Kevin, so you reached out to him.
I reached out to Kev, and then he gave me advice on a few mixes, and then that was probably mid 2018, and then in August 2018 he invited me up to see his studio, and we got on really well. He'd liked some of my mixes I'd done, so I actually started working with the studio then. So he went from being my mentor to being basically my boss. You know what I mean? So. And it was a seamless transaction because, when you're working with Kevin, it's never this relationship of like, someone's in charge. It's always a great back and forth. It's like, it's a breath of fresh air, especially in the music industry, being able to just work with someone who's just actually genuinely like a nice person. Not that I've worked with people who are horrible. It's just I've known people who've gone out and done work and I've heard some horror stories. So yeah. I just counted myself quite lucky. And then when we started working with the band, and I started working with the band a lot, when I joined the band, obviously me and Kieran would do majority of the recording here in my house. So, well, that was during the pandemic, but Kevin kind of took the lead on producing the tracks rather than me for the first two releases because we needed that outside ear. So yeah, he was very instrumental in 99. He's been instrumental throughout the whole thing, but me and Kieran have kind of started to, we sit in on the mixes, but now we kind of, we would mix a little bit ourselves, that kind of thing. Like, because we can both mix, but it's, we do our own portion and then we kind of let Kev do fine tuning and stuff because it's just, it's always worked so well with him that it's just such a natural relationship. So
that's really cool about your relationship with Kevin. Great that you were able to connect with him.
Yeah, it's definitely been beneficial.
Love that. So we're going to be listening to Those Damn Lights in a bit. What was the creative approach? You did all of this in 48 hours, right? All the EP.
Yeah.
This is part of the EP as well. Did you have a different approach to creating?
What kind of helped us is each track, if you've noticed, compared to our first two singles, there's, especially with Those Damn Lights, there's such a sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this was recorded the first crack we had in Ireland for lockdown. Like, so we had maybe 2 weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks of a break of lockdown, something like that. But we didn't know how long it was going to last. So as soon as we got a break in lockdown, we got together and recorded it. So that's why everything was done so quickly, because it was kind of done out of panic. Because it's like, if we don't get this done, we don't have an EP.
Yeah, I get that.
That's why with Those Damn Lights, especially the bass line, it's very aggressive because that's like we did this song last. So my hands were quite dead. And I remember for Those Damn Lights stopping and my hands were just cramped. So that bass line is really me doing like the very last bit of bass playing I could do that day.
Oh, it's an incredible song.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I was going to say it's my favorite, but I think my favorite just kind of changes depending what mood I'm in. But I definitely think it's the coolest track. I think it's one of those tracks that, it works, you could listen to it working out. You could listen to it at a house party. I think it's just a good song to get you motivated, relight a fire under your ass kind of thing.
No, it's definitely a motivational song. It definitely pumps up the blood, so to speak.
Completely.
Oh, I love it, to be honest with you. But I love that kind of music, the kind you're pissed off and you can turn it up and get rid of your mood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't listen to it too pissed off because it might, it's one of those songs that will motivate you or probably make you angrier because it's like, yeah.
It could. So what is the song about?
So this is a song, I was actually speaking about this track a little bit earlier. So this track is about hangovers. This is the one that when we were saying it's about.
Ah, this is the hangover one.
Hangover one. This is the one that it's kind of like you walk into your office after a night out and, when you're hungover, everything feels so much worse than it is. So this is just someone, you know, those damn lights, they're haunting me, because it's kind of like the repercussions from the night before. And it's just like, you're kind of, when you're that hungover, you get angry, you get kind of spiteful. That's why, you know, there's that line, people throwing nuts at me, because you're sitting at your desk job, people think you're just another drone at a computer, and you're just, everything, it makes you mad. Nothing is going right. And, you know, it's probably not true. It's probably just because you're hungover.
Yeah, hangovers do have a way of strengthening that feeling.
I will say, yeah, he is finished recording, and I don't think they're as far. No, there's no hangover tracks on that one. This one,
yeah,
geared away from hangover songs on the second EP.
When is the second EP coming out?
There's no set date for the second EP. We've set a preliminary release date for our our lead single from the second EP, which is going to be called Cliched Ciggy Smoker.
Oh, cool.
So it's a track I'm very, very excited for people to hear, because it's kind of like, it still has that grungy kind of like punkiness to it, but it can also have moments where it's tenderness, a bit like None Like You. So I think it definitely has, it could appeal to a few more people, which I think is quite nice. So the preliminary date on that is June 19th. Sorry, I never finished my sentence.
Yeah, you didn't. I'm going, did I miss no. it? Or did
you? Like, if you ask me one question, okay, I'll give you 15 answers and not the one you're looking for.
Okay, cool. Cool. Just say that to the cops, too.
Yes.
That's cool. No, I'm glad you offered that. So it's out in June.
That's, we're looking at June. We're starting our planning. We've started our planning process for it literally yesterday. We're in talks for a music video, and we're setting up meetings with our PR team and stuff tomorrow. So hopefully we'll be able to put a solid date on it, because we're only coming out of lockdown from last week. So me and Kieran, we both got our haircuts today. So we're planning a photo shoot in the next 2 weeks or so.
You better get it done in quickly.
Pretty quickly, yeah.
Well, yeah.
We work to time crunch.
I get that. I'm jealous. I haven't. My hair is starting to look like Janis Joplin's.
I'm jealous. Joplin was cool, though.
Yeah, that's what my husband said. I like the look. I haven't. No, it's like a husband cutting. Oh my God, for whatever. So we're going to take those damn lights for a spin right now.
need some time to adjust myself to all these lights. Those
I really love that song. I honestly, it's my favorite.
Oh, thank you.
Of the album. It's my favorite of the album.
Yeah, we heard that a lot. I think when we wrote everything, when everything was recorded, you know, None Like You was the single. So we kind of had that out of sight, out of mind. So we were asking a lot of people what their favorite track was. And a lot of people were saying Those Damn Lights, when we presumed it was maybe with the whole EP together, it would be None Like You or Molly or Storehouse. But I was like really surprised so many people like Those Damn Lights. Not that it's a bad track or anything, but it's just, I don't know. It just really surprised me.
People relate to it. You know, you have your childhood dreams, your young adult dreams, or your mature adult dreams, and bottom line is sometimes you have to use that job to become your dreams. And a lot of people, let's be honest, are overwhelmed by doing both.
Yeah,
and they give up their dreams. Okay. Yeah, that's called the middle-aged crisis. You're not out there yet.
No, I'm at my start of my 20s crisis. Yeah.
No, but I think the group, the band put out a very relatable song. And that's why people like it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It was great to hear.
Yeah, thank you. So what channel is the best and most active for the Plastic Cowboys?
For us, Instagram. I think Instagram is probably our big one. We do have Facebook and Twitter. Our Twitter, we're getting more on top of our social medias. I think that's probably our weak point. But Instagram is where we post everything. If something's happening about it and you want to know about it, it's going to be at Instagram, which is plastic_cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, you do have a very active Instagram.
Yeah, you should see our Facebook.
I follow you everywhere, babe.
Oh, thank you. Our Facebook, I don't think it's been used. We used our Facebook after the EP came out, but before that, we'd forgotten about it a little bit.
Yeah, your posts, yeah. But that's fair.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, with so many platforms, like now they have TikTok, and then Clubhouse, and now Twitter's launching a Clubhouse type platform called Spaces, I think it is. Like, you can only do so much.
Well,
and you have to find your favorite platform and go with it.
Yeah. Like, we also have a TikTok, but it wouldn't be the most used, you know, because I personally wouldn't use TikTok. I think it's because me and Kieran primarily used Instagram ourselves. So that's the one that gets the most treatment because we know how to use it.
Yeah, I get that. I really appreciate the time that you spent on the show today and getting to know you and the band. And I love bringing your music to other listeners out there. I think it's great. You guys are doing great stuff.
Well, thank you very much. No, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Like, I really appreciate you taking the time to have me on and ramble for however long it's been. I hope people get some usable content out of anything I said.
No, I'm sure they'll enjoy the episode, and follow the band after this because you guys are a great group.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Yeah, we've been working hard, and I can't wait for you to hear what we have next. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Awesome. I look forward to it. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
Well, thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please share this episode with others and post about it on social media. To catch all the latest from The Buzzer and upcoming shows, you can follow us on Instagram at The Buzzroll Media and on Twitter at The Buzzer Indie. Catch you at the pod next episode, On Air Indie, from iPad to yours over the airways. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.